tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 25th of May 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, a happy bank holiday Monday to all our British listeners. I'm not sure whether America also has a holiday, public holiday on today, but we certainly do in Britain. It makes no difference to Radio Albion though, because we stream every day. And today I want to take a look at two news stories, prominent news stories in the current news cycle, both for different reasons. This first one was quite distressing to hear about, and the victim's mother was on the BBC yesterday talking about this. She hasn't given up on her anonymity, but she is going public about this. And there's an investigation that has been called for by the Labour Party. And it's to do with the so-called punishment of a group of teenage gang rapists. And this article comes from the Daily Mail. And the headline is, "Teenage gang who lured schoolgirl 15 to underpass and laughed as they filmed themselves raping avoid jail as judge appraises them for behaviour during trial." And apparently they didn't just do this to one girl, they did this to two girls. So this shows that this was premeditated. And yet they have not been sent to jail. Now, when this first came out, we didn't know who these rapists were. Apparently they're from the traveller community. And that doesn't mean necessarily, doesn't really give us the details. Were they Roma gypsies, for instance, from Bulgaria? Were they Irish gypsies? What do they mean by from the traveller community? In the images that have been released, they look fairly fair-skinned, but we're not certain. And this has been investigated, or being talked about, rather, because there's been no jail sentence for the rapists. And this reminds me of a couple of weeks back where we heard about, where I think the girl was 15 and she was raped by a 14-year-old, and the 14-year-old I think was an Afghan or a Syrian, and again he was not given a jail sentence, he was given lessons in consent, and there was no call for investigations of that, there was no calling on the Attorney General to investigate this and increase the sentences, and yet here we see that there is. And I mean, that might be a point to think about, that the difference there may be that the one that carried out the rape and was, there was no calls for the Attorney General to increase the sentence, and the victim's mother was not on the BBC being interviewed. That was when the rapist was non-white. Here we see where it's a gang rape and the rapists appear to be fair-skinned. There's a huge hullabaloo being made about it. A teenage traveller gang who filmed themselves raping lone schoolgirls in two separate sex attacks have avoided jail. Two 14-year-old boys targeted one of their victims, 15, on Snapchat before luring her to an underpass where they laughed and filmed themselves as they raped her. 2 months later, the pair, this time joined by a third boy, aged just 13, gang-raped a second schoolgirl at knife point, while again recording the attack on their phones as they goaded each other to degrade her further. I mean, this is absolutely shocking that this is going on with young teens in the first place, let alone the fact that they're not actually being jailed for it. And David Lammy actually wants to increase the age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 14. He thinks that you cannot actually be responsible for carrying out crimes if you're under the age of 14, in which case all of this gang raped this girl, none of them could have been prosecuted under criminal law. With these changes that David Lammy, the British Minister for Justice, wants to bring in. And I'm hoping that we will be looking in more detail, actually, at these changes that David Lammy wants to bring in on Friday with Sam Melia, when we have a new episode of our Thought Crime podcast. So I'm not going to get too deeply into that, because we will be covering it on Friday. The trio, all from the traveller community, as I say, they don't tell us if that means Roma gypsies, Romani gypsies, or Irish gypsies, or English travellers even, or people that just live in motorhomes and caravans. We just don't know. I do think we need more detail on that. The trio, all from the traveller community, were convicted of rape in March following a five-week trial, with the two older boys also found guilty of taking indecent images of a child relating to the recordings they made of their attacks. And a lot of the time in these instances, they record the attack and then they'll put that online to shame the girl, and also because they're proud of what they've done. It's incredible that these things go on, that they film this and then just put it online. You think how embarrassed that must make this girl feel. And she's had to go to court. She's had to, because they pled not guilty in court, of course, so she's had to go to court. She's had to give evidence. And at the end of it, they haven't even been sent to jail. All three defendants were today handed youth rehabilitation orders instead of jail sentences during a hearing at Southampton Crown Court, as a judge told them, "None of you need to go to prison." You imagine how this poor victim felt when she heard those words. The soft touch sentence quickly provoked a furious backlash, with a senior Tory MP telling the Daily Mail it was a sickening case of soft justice. You see, straight away we've got MPs getting involved in this. And when we had the case a couple of weeks ago of a 15-year-old girl raped by a 14-year-old Afghan, he was not sent to jail. He was told he would get lessons in consent. There was silence from the members of parliament. The first 14-year-old assailant, who is now 15, was given a three-year youth rehabilitation order with requirements of intense surveillance and supervision for 180 days after being convicted of two counts of rape and one count of taking indecent images of a child. There's no mention there of him having to sign the sex offenders register either for the rest of his life, or even just for 10 years. There's no... You know, that there really should have been a prison sentence, and there also should have been a requirement to sign the register, which means that the police will keep tabs on him as well as he gets older. But none of that. The judge doesn't appear to have done that at all. The second 14-year-old attacker, also now 15, was likewise given a three-year youth rehabilitation order with the same requirements for six counts of rape, while the 13-year-old attacker, now 14, was handed an 18-month rehabilitation order after being convicted of two counts of rape. Six counts of rape, and there were two girls. So that means they must have raped them multiple times and just sort of kept them there under this underpass. They knew exactly what they were doing. I mean, they had to have done, because they went and did it again, didn't they? Youth rehabilitation orders are a community sentence for under-18s, which can carry a range of different requirements, such as unpaid work. I mean, a community sentence is basically go out picking up litter. There's not even a requirement here for a house arrest or anything similar. So they're effectively going to have to go out once a week and pick up litter for carrying out this gang rape. Judge Nicholas Rowland told the boys, "None of you need to go to prison today." He said the boys are very young, had low intelligence, a limited understanding of consent, and were susceptible to peer pressure. Well, he says they're susceptible to peer pressure. Aren't all young teenage boys susceptible to peer pressure? Perhaps youngsters do have a limited understanding of consent, but it doesn't mean they're going to go out and gang rape a young girl. That's over the line, that is. I mean, you could probably say that even youngsters, they may have a high, you know, they may have a high IQ, but they may not be that worldly. They may not understand too many things, but they don't go out and rape their school friends, do they? This is the issue. I mean, these are not mitigating factors for this at all, because the 99.99999% of young schoolboys who don't get involved in gang rapes, they also have a limited understanding of consent and are also susceptible to peer pressure. And yet they don't go and do this. So there is something different here. Also, if they're going to say that if they have low intelligence, they are, you know, they can't be sent to jail. Well, what about black Africans who are quite notorious for having an average IQ of 70? A lot of them have an IQ of 60, 65. If you have an IQ of 60, 65, then it used to be that you were on the scale as retarded. So that would also mean that they could not be sent to prison because they had have a low intelligence. This seems to be a new get out of jail free card, basically, is having a low IQ. And we are importing more and more people into our country that have a low IQ and also that are predisposed to be more likely to carry out crimes as well, if you look at the statistics. Of course, I'm not saying all black Africans are going to be carrying out crimes at all, but statistically they are more likely to carry out crimes, and particularly sexual crimes as well. If you look at Eritrea and places like Afghanistan, 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults or rapes. And we learned last week that if you're a refugee, then you're 550 times more likely to carry out rapes or sexual assaults. And we learned that from Dorset Police, who told us that something like 46.7% of all rapes and sexual assaults in Dorset were carried out by illegal immigrants. And when you work out what percentage of the population illegal immigrants are, it works out that they are 550 times more likely to carry out sexual offences. So, and it's our government that imports these people, that allows them into our country. It really shows you that white girls are right at the bottom of the victim list, aren't they? They're right at the bottom of the government's priorities when they allow these things to go on, and they give instructions to judges, which mean that judges end up letting rapists off like this, simply because he says they have low intelligence and they're susceptible to peer pressure. The judge also praised the boys for their conduct during the trial, saying, "I think of you as very young and none of you have been in any big trouble before." I mean, how can he praise their conduct during the trial when they were obviously guilty of this, and yet they pled not guilty and they forced the victim to go through the trial? I don't think that is showing good conduct at all. He says, "You have all done very well with the restrictions put in place throughout the trial." And he says to the second boy and the third boy, "Your problems are quite bad. Your problems." So it looks at them as if they've got some kind of mental problem which causes them to carry out rapes, rather than looking at them as criminally minded that went out and raped this young girl. I mean, they've pretty much ruined this young girl's life, and all they're going to have to do is go out and pick litter up. And they did it. And not only that, they did it twice. They did it to a second victim. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philip condemned the sentence, telling the Daily Mail, "These despicable traveller youths should have been jailed. This is a sickening case of soft justice." Yes, but it's just one of many, though, isn't it? "Repeated gang rapes against schoolgirls deserve the harshest penalties as a punishment and as a deterrent. This soft judge is sending a signal that these appalling crimes will go without proper punishment, encouraging other offenders." And it's the same case, isn't it, with the refugees, when we see that the people that complain about these crimes going on end up with a longer jail sentence than the people that actually carry out the sexual assaults. And I'm referring there to the Ethiopian offender, Epson Forrest, I think it was, that happened last year, when he was convicted of sexual assault and he spent 2 weeks in prison, something like that, whereas some of the people that were protesting against that sexual assault carrying on, they were given 2 years in jail for complaining about the sexual assault. Or I guess the state will say, "Oh yes, but they were using language that incited hate when they were complaining about it." Well, It's difficult to use language that doesn't incite hate against a rapist when you are complaining that the rape has been allowed to happen. Unless you have studied this stuff for a long time, you're not likely to even understand that in Britain you have laws that literally prevent you from complaining about what you see with your own eyes, using your own words to do so. The Labour government claimed it wants to halve violence against women and girls, but rape is up almost 10% under Labour, and with soft sentences like this, it is no surprise. Well, I suspect what the Labour government will do will say, look, we've managed to reduce sexual violence against women and girls, because look at the numbers in prison for sexual violence against women and girls. They've halved. Of course, that doesn't really tell you, does it, that the reason why the numbers in prison for sexual violence have halved is because people are not being sent to prison for carrying out sexual violence. And here's an instance of it. The Labour government needs to urgently grip this situation and ensure proper sentences get handed down. Judge Rowland said that the first boy had been diagnosed with ADHD and long-standing anxiety, which made him more open to peer pressure. Well, that's not an excuse for going out and raping somebody, is it? I mean, what do you think that's going to do for the anxiety of the victim? He said that the second boy fell into the bottom 1% in IQ for his age, and he had been diagnosed with ADHD, while the third boy had low intellectual capacity and he had a limited understanding of consent. And what do they mean by the bottom 1% in IQ for his age? I mean, are they judging him as a white man, in which case they're probably saying, well, his lowest IQ is probably going to be about 80 or 85. If it's going to be a black person, then the lowest, as I say, the lowest IQ could be 60, 65. And that would mean that somebody who was black that had carried out this offence, they would also be let off. The judge told the defendants, I have to remember that you are not small adults. Well, that is correct. They are under the age of 16. But if they're carrying out adult offences, then I think they should be looked at as small adults. He said, I have to think how likely you are to do serious things again, and I need to make sure you do not do serious things again in the future. Well, they've already shown that there is a likelihood that they will do, because they carry this out. All three boys have been made subject to a 10-year restraining order against their victims, which means they're not allowed to contact the victims. The victim of the first incident came to the court for the sentencing hearing and, screened from the view of the boys, read her victim impact statement, as well as a poem she had written directed towards her attackers. She described how her mental health had deteriorated since the incident, leading her to isolate herself from her friends. She said, I was caught off guard. I never want that to happen again. I will never get that innocence back again. And that's been very well put there, because that's what's been taken from her, is her innocence. The poem included the line, all I want to do is die. I no longer have fear for when that comes. She added, no one deserves the trauma of being raped. And there have been lots of instances of these young girls, when they get raped, they go on to commit suicide. I mean, there are even instances where the state in Canada, I believe, and Holland also aided the victims to kill themselves after being raped. Migrant rape, I think it was, in those circumstances. In a statement read on behalf of the second victim, she said her school attendance had suffered and added, I often feel overwhelmed, anxious and emotionally exhausted to the point where sitting in a classroom becomes unbearable. She described suffering nightmares and struggling to sleep and added, I feel ashamed, insecure and uncomfortable in my own body. I mean, how can this judge say, oh, well, these boys didn't understand the concept of consent, when quite clearly they can understand that this girl doesn't want to do this and they are raping her? I mean, it's just mind-boggling that the judge can think that they didn't understand consent. I mean, it's quite clear that somebody doesn't want to be doing something. They can make it quite clear. I mean, a girl can make it quite clear that she's not interested in you way before anything, you know, before anything sexual happens. They make it quite clear to you if they're not interested in you. And quite clearly, these boys just ignored that and went on to force her. She added, the person I was before the incident has completely gone, and sometimes I feel like I am grieving the person I used to be. In the twin attacks, which happened just 7 weeks apart last winter in Fordingbridge, a wealthy and genteel Hampshire town on the edge of the New Forest, both girls targeted were older, at 15. One girl described being trapped and that her abusers laughed while they raped her and filmed it. In both incidents, prosecutors said that the girls were outnumbered. The defendants, one of whom had previously styled himself as a gangster, laughed at the girls and filmed their horrifying ordeal on a mobile phone. So quite clearly, these girls were protesting. They didn't want to be doing this, and yet they were forced to. The first attack came when a girl had caught a bus to the town on a Tuesday afternoon in November 2024 after arranging to meet the boy after he had messaged her a few days previously on social media platform Snapchat. They had not met in person until that day. After spending time together in the town, the boy had persuaded her to accompany him to a quieter area in an underpass by the River Avon, where they had some consensual sexual activity. But the atmosphere changed dramatically when two of the boy's friends turned up, apparently by arrangement, and with one having the intention of joining in. On this occasion, the third boy took no part, but the other two boys began to pressurise the girl into having a threesome in the squalid outdoor setting. The girl would later tell a jury how she had no desire to do this, but was already feeling threatened by both boys and feared she would be in danger if she tried to stop them. She would later describe the humiliating assault she was subjected to over the following 90 minutes alongside the river. And don't forget this video of this as well. So if she had been consenting to this, it would have shown on the video that she was consenting to this. Quite clearly, she was not consenting to this. She said her tormentors kept switching, taking turns to abuse her and laughing at her as they filmed each other. In a video of her police interview, which was played to the court, the girl told the officers she feared being hurled into the river if she didn't comply with their demands, explaining, "They could have pushed me in there, it was raining and the current was really bad, I was so scared, disgusted." After the sexual attack finally ended, the boys asked her, "Why do you look so sad?" and brought her a soft drink to cheer her up before leaving her by a bus stop. And that's the second time that I've heard that, after raping this young girl, the rapist will then buy her a drink or whatever. I can recall hearing that with one of these refugee rapes. The boy who had initially groomed her on Snapchat then soon afterwards blocked her on social media, the court was told. Prosecutor Jodie Mittal KC said the victim told police in an interview how she was petrified and felt sick at not knowing how to get herself out of that situation. Miss Mittal KC said she told the police that all three of them were taller than her and she felt that it was the three boys against her alone. The word she used in describing that was petrified. She said she agreed to the sexual humiliation because she didn't know what would happen if she didn't say yes. She was so scared that she stopped listening to them and just tried to think what she could try to do to get out of that situation, but there was nothing she could do. She felt cornered and trapped with three boys in the underpass. Footage of the attack was later found by the police on one of the boys' phones, which over six separate videos and pictures showed her being forced to perform sexual acts on the boys. In the videos, the boys can be heard laughing and one of the boys saying, "Don't film it, mush." So it's quite clear, it shows her being forced to perform these sexual acts. The girl said later, at this moment, she had been trying not to cry. The two defendants would go on to rape another girl in the same area some 2 months later, this time with their younger friend also taking part. The second victim, who was 14, was targeted on a Friday afternoon in January 2025. She had been hanging out with a female friend out in Fordingbridge when she was approached by the trio after they had seen her arguing with a friend and wanted to know why she had been shouting. They suggested the girl accompany them, and when she said that she'd get in trouble with her mother if she did this, they overrode her objections. They told her to drop her phone in a local co-op supermarket along with an AirTag that her mother had given her to check her whereabouts. Now, the fact that these girls are talking to these boys as well, it tends to say that they're not that low IQ, that they're not able to convince a girl that they're quite normal. I mean, for the judge to be saying that they have this low IQ and they don't understand consent and the peer pressure and la-di-da and all the rest of it, but these girls were still talking to them and they didn't get alarm bells saying, look, this guy is a mental retard, that they weren't thinking like that. they were thinking that these boys were normal, effectively. They had to have been. Otherwise, the first one wouldn't have arranged to meet one, and this second one wouldn't have carried on talking to them. And soon the underlying sense of menace became overt. The boys threatened to kill her if she tried to run away as they marched her to a field behind Fordingbridge Recreation Centre. Now, I wonder if she has footage of that, whether she thought to press record on her phone. She would later describe how terrified she had been by these threats, which became more credible when she realised that one of the two older boys was carrying a knife. And as she was led away to the field, away from any potential help from others, he then used it to cut holes in her clothing to facilitate the ensuing attack. Imagine this, this young female victim, there's a gang of boys, they use a knife to cut holes in her clothing so that they can rape her, and the judge doesn't think that this deserves a jail sentence. Again, the two older boys took turns to sexually molest her, but this time the third boy accompanied them, and not the same boy as in the previous incident. I mean, this tends to show that amongst this particular community, this sort of thing is accepted as normal, that it's normal to just rape girls and use a knife to threaten them so that you can rape them. They then walked away from their victim, who, with her clothes torn, would later recall how she just sat there for another 10 to 15 minutes just trying to process it all before trying to find someone to help her. She then walked to a Tesco where she was found by her sister. After speaking to the girl, she then called the police to report that she had been raped, but her ordeal was far from over. The girl revealed that a few days after the incident, she began to be abused by members of her peer group who were calling her a slag. It transpired that videos of her terrifying abusive encounter with the three boys in that bleak field had been widely shared on social media and were being commented on by others who apparently believed the incident had taken place with consent. Little has been revealed about the official background of the boys who took part in the two very similar attacks, but the Daily Mail revealed in March that they already appeared to be reveling in a bad boy image. The youngest of the three rapists posted a photograph on his TikTok account just 2 weeks prior to the rape, which showed him out late at night hunting rabbits and hares with his lurcher dog, a practice known as lamping, which is a criminal offence. In the photo, thought to have been taken close to the traveller camp where he lived, some 10 miles from Fordingbridge, a cartoon rabbit obscures the body of the real animal after it had been chased down and killed. Rabbit and hare coursing is an illegal blood sport in the UK, and is punishable by up to 6 months in prison. 3 days prior to that rabbit photo, the baby-faced teenager shared an inspirational meme New Year's Day post, which read, "What boys always want," before listing 5 goals. It was a particularly grim irony that one of his supposed goals was to make mum proud, just behind money and above loyal girl. But the older boys are understood to come from a traveller community further away. One has links to East Anglia, while the other has ties to Somerset. The boys' social media posts show them repeatedly clad in clothing with prominent designer branding, including Boss, American Eagle, and Canada Goose. The latter posed for a picture posting on Facebook, which showed him standing outside a traveller's camp next to a sign that reads, "Gypsy Lives Matter." And it goes on to talk about how they portrayed themselves as gangsters. The boys attempted to portray their victims as liars in court. I mean, it's rather suspicious that there were two victims as well, isn't it? And one claimed to the second victim, "She was flirting with me. She made it up for a story to make up why she went missing to her mum and dad." Well, why were her clothes all torn with a knife then? "It stopped her getting into trouble with her parents. I hadn't used a knife at all." However, Miss Mittle KC, prosecuting, told the jury, "We say that you will be sure that those two girls were not consenting to oral or penetrative sex. They used those two girls for their own sexual gratification without a care in the world for how they were feeling. So we say those raped those two girls who found themselves alone, outnumbered, and scared." And to think that the end result of that is just that these rapists are just going to have to go and pick up litter. It's just absolutely scandalous. But as I say, the same thing happened a couple of weeks back. There was a refugee that raped a young 15-year-old girl in a public toilet. I think he filmed that as well. And he was told that he was just going to get consent lessons because he didn't properly understand consent. And there's been no calls, been no BBC interviews about it, no calls for the Attorney General to investigate it. That's just been brushed under the carpet. And now we have this other one where the boys that carried this out appear to be fair-skinned, and there's a big fuss that's being made about it. Now, I did say we had another news article that was prominent in the news cycle to discuss today, but we don't have time. I think we will leave that for tomorrow. And also, further information on this, why these young rapists are being let off, I believe, is down to this guidance from the government. It's in the MP for Justice, David Lammy. It's in his recent report on the youth justice system. And we'll be going into that in some detail on Friday with Sam Melia with our new Thought Crime series. So thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.